IQC.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Travel World. Liberty Works Radio Network.
Am I a very good girl?
Oh, Chad.
Ooh, push that button.
Alive. It's alive. It's alive.
Ozzy Osbourne on AM.
Now you're talking.
Let's do it.
Crazy. That's what they call us all the time, Steve.
When they're being polite. Good morning. I'm Stephen Pickford.
I'm Willem Backus. Welcome back to Travel World here on AM 600 and the Liberty Works Radio Network, beaming to one of our favorite stations, WBZB.
1090 in Raleigh, which comes online this week, I believe. I was talking to Bill White down at Liberty Works, and we're refitting the transmitter and coming online. So welcome to our listeners down in the Carolinas, where we'll be in 2 weeks' time down in Raleigh. Vic Phillips, Candace Centennial Anchorman.
I know. I saw the email you got from Sharon Delaney, one of our correspondents down there. I don't know
it
whether
was too,
she was...
She
was actually making a proposition to you, inviting you for a taste in the feel of the triangle.
She said there was a great itinerary arranged by Martin Arms at the Raleigh Convention and Visitors Bureau.
You got to explain what the triangle is.
The triangle is the Raleigh-Durham-Chapel Hill Research Triangle Park area, the capital region of North Carolina, referred to as the triangle.
It's not what I call the triangle.
We'll be discovering that 2 weeks from now. We'll be broadcasting live from down there. Later on today's show, we'll be talking to Marta Laughlin. Apparently, she's the corporate communications director at Northwest Airlines. Apparently, this weekend, she's up in northern Minnesota exploring, I think, fishing or camping.
Maybe she's going to talk to some of those guys from the movie Fargo. Yeah, hey.
Which is one of the cities Northwest serves. They serve a lot of those communities in the Dakotas and Minnesota and Wisconsin. They're the carrier to fly
there. Maybe we could put her online with that guy, Paul, over at the Dorval Airport. And I say, hey, Paul, why don't you tell Marta what you told us about she should know what the hell
Paul
she's
doing. Paul at Dorval Airport, who doesn't know how to handle an e-ticket, and who didn't know who Marta Laughlin was because he doesn't read his internal newsletters, doesn't look at his mail and who it comes from. Kind of said, well, Marta Laughlin, she should know better. Well, we
Marta
know.
Who?
Who's she? Well, no, yeah. We'll have her on so that he can learn who she is.
That would be fun.
Bring her to Montreal so she can give him a personal lesson.
Later on, we're going to be talking to Rebecca Poslowski about her trip to Montana.
Montana, one of those places you don't normally think of. I was just looking through the Northwest schedule. They serve six cities in Montana. I didn't think they had six cities in all of Montana.
Just highways, huh?
Just highways, where they now have a speed limit for safety's sake.
They do?
Yes. It lists on their website at travel.mt.gov that there is a safety-induced speed limit. So
Safety-induced speed limit. I was talking to my buddy Ron the other day, and he was telling me that... there is no speed limit. It's just if you're out of control at 90, if you're trying to drive a little rickety Geo Metro at 200 kilometers an hour, they'll pull you over. But if you got a Ferrari or something like that and you're zipping along,
it's based on safety. It's based on weather conditions. It's based on the
so there's
on your
no
vehicle.
Real speed limit. It's basically
what they call a safety induced speed limit.
Yeah, well,
one of those government words to make it sound politically correct, perhaps.
Montana, home of the Leadfoot. I'd be right at home there.
Yeah, the Bigfoot in British Columbia and Leadfoot in Montana. And they talk over past week all through the business press in Canada and the United States dealing with airline competition. And this impacts as well on our American listeners, because if there's eventually becomes only one airline in Canada, that will totally limit your cross-border competition as well, with only one airline flying Toronto to New York, or only one airline flying from Montreal to Chicago. If that ever goes through. And they talk in the press, charter airlines will come to the rescue. The charter airlines coming to the rescue?
Right.
One flight a day on the oldest aircraft they can find with no legroom that might leave 6 hours late even to Toronto?
They'll probably put together an old Caravelle, you know?
They might. I think there's some Hawker Siddeley 748s around and Convair 880s. There's a number of old aircraft that might be pushed into service by the charter
rescue,
companies.
Yeah. It's like saying Hydro-Quebec will take care of you this winter.
Calling a charter company can be an exercise in futility. There's an airline that flies out of Montreal called Royal Aviation. It used to be called Conifair, became Intair, changes its name every couple of years. Royal Airlines sold these booklets of tickets, bulk tickets they called them. Buy now, save big money, buy 10 tickets ahead and you pay only $199 Montreal Toronto. Well, of course, since then they reduced the fare to $149, so all the saps who bought their $199 tickets to save paid more. They advertised them on the premise, there'll be two flights a day in each direction. Well, now guess what? There's only one flight a day in each direction. And when you call up, first of all, the reservations line, you have to spend at least an hour. It takes longer on the phone than it does when to take the actual flight itself. And, the flight sold out. Oh, it sold out Monday. It sold out Tuesday. It sold out Wednesday. We might have space Thursday to get you to Toronto. Please, Michel Leblanc, give me your bicycle. I can get to Toronto four days faster. So charter companies are not the answer. It is time for the government not to re-regulate the industry. We don't want to go back to re-regulation. It is open market and let the fittest survive, but make the competitive environment. The U.S. government did not come to the rescue of Eastern Airlines. They let them go by the wayside.
Yeah,
so I don't
there
look
enough
for
other airlines out there that took up the slack.
Yes, and particularly, for example, in the Miami hub with American becoming the big employer and
sure.
Atlanta with Delta expanding in their home base. But to put more government money into Canadian airlines, that's putting good money after bad.
Yeah,
they've had more than
sure.
one chance, but merging both Air Canada and Canadian is not the way to go either. So.
No, definitely. We need the competition to...
Well, competition has certainly worked in the skies of Quebec with Air Montreal, because Air Montreal has actually pushed Inter Canadian, as of September 11th, the regional carrier of Canadian Airlines, off of the Montreal-Bagotville route, or to actually downsize from 44 and 48-seat aircraft to 30-seat aircraft, letting their even a smaller commuter affiliate of a commuter affiliate take over the route. So at $69 each way, Montreal
to
Bagotville.
Who goes to Bagotville except for Brenovitz to go to the parties and pick up?
Supposed to be a real party town, Bagotville, Lac Saint-Jean, but Air Montreal flies to those points at hinterland of Quebec at prices 50% less than other airlines. They're on the internet at www.airmontreal.com, toll-free 888-631-2111, and they leave from their own terminal building in Montreal's Dorval Airport, where parking is free, no airport improvement fee to pay. We can invite all of our listeners to give them a call if they're coming to the Montreal region to get away to the far corners of Quebec. Air Montreal.
Chad, let's roll it.
Travel World will continue.
Another holiday.
Hunting your debt.
CIQC Montreal.
Mitch Melnick here for Baton Rouge. Now five locations, including the newest at Galerie d'Anjou, for incredible slip-off-the-bone barbecue baby back ribs, or maybe chicken and ribs as a combo, or maybe ribs and shrimp, or how about the trio? 10 ounces of ribs, marinated chicken, and 5 grilled jumbo shrimp. But you know, there's so much more on a highly original menu. There are some items on this menu you won't find in any other restaurant in this country, let alone Montreal. Everything is served up in huge portions, great atmosphere, classy, elegant, but no dress code. Baton Rouge.
Don't forget your best friends when you go on vacation. Call Langeau Kennels in Dorval today, 631-8704. West Islanders have trusted Langeaus with their pets since 1970. With an animal hospital right on the premises, pet owners can relax knowing that a veterinarian is not just on call, he's on site. And your pet will delight in Langeaus' choice of diets and experience care just like at home. Plus, each dog enjoys the freedom of his own indoor and outdoor run. Your pet deserves the very best. Langeaus Country Setting Kennels in Dorval, 631-8704.
This is Aaron Rand for Cavendish Mall, where you'll find the trendiest fashions for fall right now on sale this week. Of course, there's always reason to head down to Cavendish Mall. Kids can have a ball at the Treasure Island Play Park and the pony rides, of course. And you can see the latest movie or dine at one of the many fine restaurants in Cavendish Mall. And you know what? Right now, you'll find the trendiest fashions from stores like Boutique Lily, Zara, Kaplan Duval 2000, Kitty Cobbler, Delavante, Pharmaprix, Petit Mac, and Kelka Hose. Cavendish Mall, the trendiest fashions for fall, Cavendish at Kildare in Côte St. Luke.
While in Montreal, guests of Travel World stay at the luxurious Hotel Dufour, offering informal elegance and a vibrant sense of space in each guest room and suite. All the comforts of home and office, from beautifully styled custom crafted furniture to kitchenette convenience. Enjoy panoramic views of the St. Lawrence and Mount Royal, then step outdoors to a multitude of shops and restaurants at your doorstep. Upscale service for the discriminating business or leisure traveler. Hotel Dufour, 1390 4th Street at St. Catherine. Telephone 938-8333.
Hello, everybody. It's Maria Miles from the Salisbury Chamber of Commerce, listening to my favorite travel program, Travel World, right here on AM 600 CIQC.
Talk Radio 600 CIQC.
The boys are back in town.
we're back on Travel World. Willem Backus, Stephen Pickford, the hands of Chad behind the console. And boy, what a relief to have Chad back with us. And
always glad to have him.
And we're here back on the Liberty Works Radio Network. We've got Marta Laughlin from Northwest Airlines on with us, a lady who hails from Chicago and went to St. Thomas. And now she's made herself a home in the Twin Cities. Marta, welcome to Travel World. Marta? Hello.
Oh, she has gone fishing.
No, she's here. Yeah. Ice fishing up north with the Upers, yes. Okay.
Ice fishing at this time of year, beautiful northern Minnesota, the Land of Lakes.
The Land of Lakes, yes.
We've flown, how many flight segments have we flown this year with Northwest? I think you have 20 flight segments.
She's back. Marta, welcome to Travel World.
Hi, good morning.
How are you doing?
You lost me for a minute there.
Yes, just out of cyberspace or somewhere in the middle of nowhere, floating around. Where our minds always are.
Yeah, So tell us what it's like up in Upper Minnesota, huh?
You know what? It's probably a lot like a lot of the cities in Canada today. It's a little cool and breezy, but good enough to go fishing in.
Good fishing day.
That's right.
She's gone ice fishing.
No, that's not that bad yet.
We were talking just there how we were going over how many flight sectors we must have flown aboard Northwest over the last 6 months or 8 months. I think it was around 20 flight sectors. So we've had never had a problem. Everything's been,
except for the last trip to Des Moines. You heard about that one, Marta, right?
I did.
Yeah. Did you hear about that guy Paul in Montreal? He says, Marta who? She'd tell us she'd know what the hell she's doing.
Well, I guess they are connected with the media folks. Well, as good as our operation is, I know with 1,700 flights a day, we're bound to do something on one of them. But
and
we worked with Paul. He'll fix it up right.
He was taken to the woodshed.
Little talking to.
Yeah, well, good grief. That's the problem with e-tickets. Now, that's one concern that we've always had. You know, if you don't have a paper ticket and you show up at the airport and you know the bureaucracy of your average airline. Well,
sure.
You know, you show up and a guy doesn't know what the hell is going on. What do you do?
You know what? Actually, I think that particular problem you had probably wasn't e-ticket, but I think a lot of customers have that fear. You know, there's some security in walking around with a piece of paper.
Yeah.
But e-tickets have become so sophisticated. More than half of our tickets, and I think that's the case with most of the major network carriers, are now purchased electronically. And I think as that the technology and the people who work with customers get more used to using them, I think you'll find that there's less problems. For the most part, now they're not only they're our fastest growing source of ticketing, but it's customer preferred, and you don't have the problems that you used to have if in fact for some reason your flight's canceled and you need to go to another airline. I know there were some issues then with not having paper, but even the airlines have now become sophisticated enough to work with each other's electronic systems without it being proprietary, and share some information so that people with electronic tickets are accommodated in those cases. So we're getting better, but it's like anything, new technology, new ways of doing things. Sometimes it takes people a little bit of time to work out the bugs. It
takes some time to evolve. At least one good factor is you don't have to worry about losing your ticket. That resolves the problem.
Which is a really good thing.
The lost ticket indemnity forms and an extra layer of paperwork and the service fees involved and all that sort of thing. At least you don't have to worry about where did I put my ticket or somebody taking it out of my hotel room or what have you.
Right. No, I think that's definitely the wave of the future for all forms of travel is either something electronic or some high technology. So whether that's internet and redeeming World Perks Awards or booking tickets online or the personal check-in systems that we're starting to have throughout the U.S. and some of our Canadian markets as well. People seem to just like to be maybe more in control of their destiny, and they want to book their tickets and be able to check in. And polls show that, you know, to the extent they can do it all on their own and not see anyone until they sit on the flight and flight attendants are serving them, they seem to prefer that. So,
if it can reduce some of the lines, that's one of the hassles of travel everywhere in the world. It's hurry up to wait. that if you can eliminate one of those lineups during the whole travel process, you've made the travel process better for everyone concerned.
Exactly, and of course that's a constant challenge when you have more passengers traveling every year, and everyone knows who's been on planes the last couple of years. For the most part, they're full.
Well, that was one of the merciful things that we we had, you know, as far as the from gate to gate, the hurry up to wait. I mean, a lot of the airplanes have been full, but fortunately with the Northwest hub, at least in Detroit, Minnesota was, or Minneapolis was a little bit farther, but at least they put us at the near gate to see, and we were at D1.
I think there's a better planning these days as to how many passengers are connecting between Flight A and Flight B.
Exactly.
And they're easier hubs to traverse. I mean, Detroit and Minneapolis, as compared to some of the other major U.S. hubs, are easier connection points.
They are, and you know what? Northwest has worked really hard at trying to improve the hubs. Of course, I'll apologize now for anyone who's experienced a lot of the confusion connecting through Detroit with the construction that's going on. It's really tough, and the airport itself, that facility, the existing one, is really too small and wasn't built adequately to handle the level of traffic and connections through there. But with the opening of the new midfield terminal in 2001, I think that's going to be probably the easiest connect airport, one of the nicest ones in the country. Minneapolis-St. Paul has also been undergoing some construction, but just is about complete. And if passengers of Northwest haven't connected through that hub through any of the cities throughout the world, I would definitely encourage it. It's really quite attractive. In fact, we make jokes locally in Minnesota that people are going to start going to the airport to shop instead of the Mall of America.
There's a nice retail area there now.
There sure is.
Over the last year and a half, it's come right online there.
Looks a little upscale with the marble floors and, you know, the Eddie Bauer stores and jewelry stores. It's interesting, but it's kind of the wave of the future as people spend more time connecting airports or traveling across the country, find that there's a lot of disposable income that retailers can get at. And I think that people are going to see more of that. So that certainly will be the case in the new midfield terminal as well in Detroit. There's a significant amount of restaurants and shopping and things that are going to open up in that concourse too.
Our last trip was to Des Moines for the Iowa State Fair, and going, we connected through Detroit. You have two flights a day to Des Moines out of Detroit, and then, of course, on the way back, we came back through Minneapolis,
right,
which is the predominant hub for the Midwest. It interested me to note that I think there were like seven cities in Iowa that Northwest serves. Not just Des Moines, they serve all of the little points as well.
Well, our history is being the carrier of the heartland, so to speak. So a lot of those traditional Midwestern cities and the farm communities, a lot of the communities in Iowa and, of course, North Dakota and South Dakota, that's kind of Northwest Airlines' roots. And we have 9 flights a day to Des Moines, and when you consider that market size, that's pretty phenomenal.
Well, Des Moines, yes, that's
for a city the size of Des Moines to have 9 flights, but that
isn't that, and 4 of those flights are jets, which I think is important as customers continually request that they get more jet service.
Yeah.
It's interesting that we can start to work with some of the smaller jets, the regional jets, which, of course, one of which serves the Des Moines market with the RJ-85 operated by our airline partner, Masaba.
Which was a very quiet aircraft. It's the only regional jet with a first-class cabin.
You know, if any of your listeners haven't tried and haven't had an opportunity to connect to one of our markets, you're right. It's the only one with the first-class cabin. It's so quiet, so comfortable. It's really pretty luxurious. Even in the back, it has a lot more leg room than what most customers would be, you know, used to in the economy section. And it's been really well received, and we continue to take more over the next couple of years. We have another regional jet that we just recently purchased, and that's a CRJ.
Right, the Canadair Regional.
Right.
That's right.
Made the right choice there over Embraer.
I know, it was very competitive.
Right.
Well, we being Montrealers, we have
a vested interest, a natural
bias towards
that's
these
right.
things.
I understood. That's why I have to mention that was that's a recent purchase, and of course, people will see those out of all the hubs, first in Memphis, but there'll be a significant CRJ presence in Detroit for connections, and also Minneapolis, St. Paul. So we begin taking those in April of 2000. So we're pretty excited. Gives us our second regional jet in our system, a little bit smaller, with 50 seats, but really will be a big plus for customers checking, you know, connecting through our hubs.
It will replace some of the SF-340s, the other turboprop aircraft,
exactly,
as well as adding frequencies to other markets.
Right, we'll keep some turboprops, but for the most part, we're you know, the regional jet market, particularly the ones in this 50-seat category, is really where a lot of the demand is, and it gives us a lot of flexibility to fly into markets that otherwise we couldn't serve, particularly interestingly enough, ski destinations. Your regional jets have the right amount of power and lift, and they're not as heavy as some of our jets, where we actually can fly on more regular scheduled basis into mountainous areas that tend to cause some problems. It's all skiers now. How many times have they been diverted?
Diverted because of snowstorms or bad weather or what have you.
Exactly.
Also, looking through your schedule, you're primarily the biggest U.S. carrier with service to Canada. The number of cities served, 15 cities, both with Northwest Jets and Northwest Airlink service. No other U.S. flag carrier serves as many cities in Canada for our American listeners heading north.
Right, and I think the key to that is that our two largest hubs in Detroit, Minneapolis, St. Paul are really conveniently located in the mid to northern part of the country, and makes it very convenient for passengers to connect through Detroit in particular versus going farther south to Chicago or some of the hubs of the other major carriers. So as soon as the Open Skies Agreement was signed several years ago, we immediately moved in with a pretty large presence because it just makes sense based on our network and like I said, our history of operating in the mid to northern tier and certainly cold weather flying. And let's face it, these markets are very similar in terms of temperature and it's a kind of flying and a kind of a route network that we're all comfortable with given our history.
Even cities like Kenora and Regina. And we'll be continuing our discussion with Marta Laughlin of Northwest Airlines when we come back after the break here on AM 600, Liberty Works Radio Network.
Yeah, we have a little thing on Montana, which is our next topic. It's a little parody commercial. Bear in mind, it is a joke.
Do not call up the number they give.
And then following that, we'll run the break. So let's roll, Chad.
Are you a psychopathic wacko? Are you uncomfortable in your current surroundings? Are you looking for a new place to hole up and hide out? Come to beautiful Montana, the last best place, and the last place anyone would ever look for you. Montana has a long heritage of being a place to hide. From Charles Manson's summer home on Flathead Lake, Ted Bundy's Buffalo Ranch, even Jimmy Hoffa buried in the floor of the Metro Park Arena. Miles and miles of beautiful countryside with neighbors that will leave you alone to mail your bombs and print your bad checks. Unless you tick them off, then they'll form a posse and take care of you themselves. So if you're the nutcase leader of a fringe extremist, racist, uneducated, inbred child, abusing, wife-beating, couldn't follow a law if you wrote it yourself, ostracized by family and friends because you're a loony, like to wear a camisole and pumps with your camouflage, your last girlfriend ate from a trough and slept in a barn, fraudulent waste of oxygen hate group, then come on in to Montana. But be warned, we'll find you soon.
Ah, beautiful Montana. So that's ready to rock and roll on this Liberty Works station.
You guys are insane.
AM 600.
CIQC Montreal.
The 2000s are here at Point Claire Chrysler Jeep, and what deals they are! A 2000 Neon with air, AM/FM, free CD, and free 5-year warranty, just $239 a month on a 48-month lease. A 2000 Chrysler Cirrus or a 2000 Caravan, both with air, both just $319 a month on a 36-month lease. All three with zero down, transport, and tax extra. So get set for 2000. See Point Claire Chrysler Jeep, 335 Brunswick facing Fairview. Why pay more elsewhere?
Hi, this is Cynthia Fodor from KCCI-TV in Des Moines, Iowa. Happy to be back on the air in Montreal again with Stephen Pickford and Travel World on AM 600 CIQC.
Via Rail is proud to be the official ground transportation carrier for Travel World's media correspondents. Business taking you to Toronto, but tired of battling traffic on the 401, the confusion of Pearson Airport and high airfares? Next time, arrive refreshed and relaxed. Pamper yourself with Via One first-class service from downtown to downtown. A hot meal served at your seat, full stretch-out comfort that allows you to spend productive work time, not lose time en route. Via One, the way Montreal-Toronto travel was meant to be, from Via Rail, Canada's passenger train network.
Mitch Melnick here for Baton Rouge. Now 5 locations, including the newest at Galerie d'Anjou, for incredible slip-off-the-bone barbecue baby back ribs, or maybe chicken and ribs as a combo, or maybe ribs and shrimp, or how about the trio? 10 ounces of ribs, marinated chicken, and 5 grilled jumbo shrimp. But you know, there's so much more on a highly original menu. There are some items on this menu you won't find in any other restaurant in this country, let alone Montreal. Everything is served up in huge portions, great atmosphere, classy, elegant, but no dress code. Baton Rouge.
Hi, this is Vic Phillips. You're listening to Montreal's only travel show, Travel World, on AM 600, Canada's first station, CIQC.
CIQC.
Welcome back to Travel World. Welcome back is Stephen Pickford, the hands of Chad behind the console, and the beautiful Marta Laughlin, who's on the other line, who hasn't just got beauty, she's got brains. She graduated summa cum laude, 3.6 GPA. Impressive, Marta.
Who told you that?
Oh, it's all on the internet.
Especially with those photos. I mean, well, I guess you're young and needed the money, but
I'm not aware of any photos.
Neither am I. I think I should be, no?
Yeah, yeah. That was the hands of Chad, Marta.
Caught his interest. His ears picked up.
I'm wondering who's like milling around my office.
So you have photos in your office. Oh my goodness, we're getting deeper and deeper.
We're getting
here.
Deeper. We have to dig ourselves out of the hole.
You are. You know I'm going to return and say, okay, who gave him my bio?
Oh my goodness. So, yes.
Important figures here at Northwest Airlines, always leading the pack over the last few months in on-time performance, which is a very important key criteria in the selection of a carrier for the business traveler.
Absolutely. And, of course, most of our passengers know we had kind of a rough 98 with some labor issues, and we were even shut down for a couple weeks as an airline when the pilots went on strike. So we're particularly pleased that we've been able to recover from that and through the first 6 months of the year be the best on-time airline of the 7 major network carriers. So we're not done. We know we have to continue to keep that pace, but customers consistently tell us that it's most important to them that they get to their destination on time, and certainly with business days as packed as they are and trying to get home for the Suns baseball game, that's a priority of ours too. That and safety.
The two key criteria in airline operations. I know I check out the internet sites at in the evening, the Aeroport de Montréal arrivals, and Northwest is always within 15, 20 minutes of scheduled arrival time, which is the on-time criteria, whereas a lot of other airlines, 2-3 hours late, might be here, might be there, might be leaving. Northwest is consistently in this market, out of Detroit and Minneapolis, arriving on time.
The employees definitely deserve the credit for it. The frontline folks, they've worked really hard, and I only apologize to passengers when we're not able to do it right. Whether it's weather or something that we can control, we certainly understand that people's plans get messed up, and it's upsetting. But we've done a good job so far, and we're hoping that the rest of the year continue at the same pace, and we can regain our number one on-time status for the year like we used to hold for 7 years in a row a couple of years ago.
Yeah, but usually you make up for it in one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
Steve was telling me something about a program to empower the employees to make decisions on the spot. And
there was a program that was announced a few years ago. It was called like North Best University or something.
Right, right.
That effect.
Well, and actually we kind of redid that program and introduced it last year, and it's interesting to bring that up because I think that's a big tool that our gate employees have to work. We've upgraded some of the packages that they have for compensating passengers who need to be rebooked on other carriers. There's more hotel vouchers. We can make those decisions when there's weather delays, which most people know usually acts of God kind of delays. Airlines tend to not be as responsive in terms of accommodations and food certs and all those kinds of things, but all those are part of our customer first packages, and we also have phone cards that you can connect with the people who are supposed to meet you on the other end, and there's a lot of goodies we gave them, a lot of ability to meet the needs of the customer, you know, right at the moment when there's some sort of disruption. And I think that's really the key to getting people to fly you repeatedly.
It's how a situation is handled. If they receive proper communications and if they receive the customer care that they are looking for, they will always say, hey, it can't be helped.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're looking for. And in flight, you can't fault in-flight service, even snack, a roast beef sandwich, and very interesting
things.
The a la carte meals on the hot food service sectors, beef teriyaki and that sort of thing, can't be beaten.
Those kinds of the food entrees and the personal amenities and cloth towels, different kinds of hot hoagies, and just a lot of work at trying to upgrade every type of service in the onboard environment. We have anyone who gets a chance to fly on one of our longer domestic flights. We just recently reintroduced entertainment on board, and we have some popular TV shows, Frasier and Law and Order, and a couple different ones running on board now. And, you know, just little things like that we can make the investment in the customer, and it makes their trip a little more pleasant. That's a big focus of our operations this year in 99 and into 2000.
I must say I was especially impressed with the Misaba flight attendants because, you know, they're in a smaller airplane. Sometimes they have only one or two people who are running the aircraft as far as cabin crew is concerned. And they did a really good job and had a pretty good sense of humor. And you could tell that they
You can tell
were
the people
enjoying.
Who enjoyed their job. So that
right.
carries
right.
forward in the enjoyment of the flight. A lot of that food service as well is regional specialties out of the hub cities, like a Memphis barbecue. And that makes
right.
you makes it a little bit different than lasagna plate eastbound and hamburger steak westbound.
Yeah.
Northwest is really lucky to have Northwest Airlink partner like Misaba, because I totally agree with you. You can tell the employees love their company. They were named Best Regional Airline just over a year ago, and you certainly can tell it's the enthusiasm and the way they do their service, particularly in a small cabin when you have some of the Metroliners, small aircraft, and they're still meeting the needs of everybody and offering service. That's a pretty exceptional thing, but we're real pleased with that group, and of course their operation just continues to grow. We use them out of all three of our hubs now. It used to be just Minneapolis, and that's in the past couple of years. So they're a big favorite with our customers.
And Northwest is a big favorite with us. I'd let you get back to your fishing or whatever you're planning to do in northern Minnesota today.
Thanks.
Marta Laughlin, Northwest Airlines, thanks for joining us this morning on Travel World.
I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You too, Marta.
Bye-bye.
And we now turn our topics towards Montana. Not much of a segue there, to use the Melanie Reffis word.
Well, Montana is served by Northwest. Six cities, actually. I didn't know they had six cities in Montana, but six cities in Montana are served by Northwest. Billings, Bozeman, Great Falls, Helena, Kalispell, and Missoula. And joining us now is Rebecca Pilowski.
Rebecca, welcome to Travel.
Just back from Montana.
Hi, how are you guys?
Not bad.
Doing well. So what possessed you to go to Montana? We have played a little parody ad earlier about Montana. Was it like you picture it? Or does it live up to its reputation, or is that just one of those urban fairy tales?
Well, you know, I had a government professor once that described Montana as one of those big square states where nobody lives. And honestly, that's pretty much what it came across to me as. It was, I guess, probably like the America of like 50 years ago before mass development and everything set in. But it was very picturesque, very beautiful, very unspoiled. So you could drive for miles and miles without seeing another house or another car. So there's something kind of charming about that.
Where they'll leave you alone.
Yes, exactly.
You could go there and not be found if you
exactly.
wanted to.
It's a good place to go for that. And you're close enough to the Canada border, like our guide pointed out, that, you know, if you wanted to make a break for it, you'd be in great position to do so.
So did you go by yourself, or did you take that friend? I forget the name of your friend who was the blonde bombshell with the big camera.
What was her name?
No, this time I was traveling actually with a different group of people. So
okay.
Kind of a mix of people, about other four of us, I guess, all together.
Chad's interested, you see.
We have to say,
yeah, I noticed.
We have to say certain things to get his attention occasionally.
Can't have him doodling, you see, while we're on the air.
About doing that.
You mentioned before going they were planning to put you up in teepees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, did all these four people sleep in one teepee?
Well, we had two things going. We had the squaw tent for us women, and then there was a I guess, Braves tent for the men. But actually, only two of us ended up staying overnight. The other two chickened out and went back to the Super 8.
Were you one of the chickens, or did you stay overnight?
Oh, heck no. Of course I stayed.
Okay.
Well, you get the chance to sleep in a teepee in Montana.
Did you drink too much tea?
No, I didn't drown in my teepee, thank you.
That's terrible. I'm sorry.
You see, I didn't do the punchline this time.
No, we're just sort of set it up.
Shame on you, Rebecca.
Sorry about that.
You'll have to punish her, Chad.
For playing up to Willem and his idiosyncrasies. Of course, our friend Mike Bilodeau, he heard, saw the Braves tent, and he thought that's where they were going to be showing baseball games on WTBS, right?
Oh.
Yes, so tell us, the Trail of Lewis and Clark, that's the whole historical, we know obviously Lewis and Clark, but... Jerry Lewis and Joe Clark, but...
Well, it's kind of interesting because these are states that don't see a lot of tourism action, but everybody knows that the bicentennial is coming up, so they're kind of scrambling to get ready for all of the people that they anticipate are going to be coming out. So Montana actually has an interesting advantage in that respect because some people may not know this, but on the return trip from the expedition to the Pacific, Lewis and Clark actually split up in Montana. They logged in more miles in Montana than in any other state and spent about, I think, 20% of their time in Montana itself. So the part of the trip I did was actually Clark's return path, which is on the Yellowstone River, and it was really interesting country. And it's a neat place to go because you're also within really close distance to Yellowstone National Park. So it's a nice stopover for there, too.
You could combine one with the other.
Exactly, yeah. It's a good way to see a lot of different countryside. And also, since it's the return path of Clark, it may not be as well trafficked as the main route taken by Lewis. So you may avoid a lot of the congestion that they're predicting to have.
For this bicentennial celebration.
Rebecca, hold the line. We're going to take a quick break right now, and then we'll get right back to you and more on your trip to Montana. Let's roll it, Chad.
Every time you call my name,
Chad,
I heat up like a burning flame, full of desire.
Yeah.
Kiss me, baby, let the fire get higher.
AM600 Montreal.
Before heading off on your next trip, head off to Jet Setter. Jet Setter is Montreal's travel accessory center with the largest selection of travel accessories in Eastern Canada. Everything that you could possibly want relating to travel, all in one location. Money belts, water purifiers, miniature binoculars, travel irons, guidebooks and maps, plus converters and adapters for all your electrical needs, including computers. What's more, you'll find every imaginable kind of rolling luggage, including duffel bags, knapsacks and travel packs from such name brands as Tumi, Travel Pro, Skyway, Lusport Sack, Kipling, Timberland, Eagle Creek, Briggs & Riley, and more. At Jet Setter, I found you don't pay more for quality and personal service. In fact, you'll save with Jet Setter, and GST is included in every price you see. Jet Setter, Montreal's travel accessory center, 66 Laurier West between Clark and Saint-Urbain. Telephone 271-5058.
The 2000s are here at Point Claire Chrysler Jeep, and what deals they are! A 2000 Neon with air, AM/FM, free CD, and free 5-year warranty, just $239 a month on a 48-month lease. A 2000 Chrysler Cirrus or a 2000 Caravan, both with air, both just $319 a month on a 36-month lease. All three with zero down, transport, and tax extra. So get set for 2000. See Point Claire Chrysler Jeep, 335 Brunswick facing Fairview. Why pay more elsewhere?
Are you tired of being held hostage to the airline's demands to stay over a Saturday night and reserve 2 weeks in advance just to get a reasonable airfare? Fed up with paying $1,000 or more on your business trips to the United States? Now there's an answer to every business traveler's dream with Zagory Travel's USA on Business fares to over 50 key business centers throughout America. Reserve up to 3 days in advance, stay just 2 days, not requiring a Saturday, and count the savings. $395 plus taxes to Los Angeles, for instance, compared to over $2,000 plus taxes normally applicable without that obtrusive Saturday night stayover. You don't sacrifice comfort or convenience either, flying with one of America's top five fly carriers with full in-flight service, seat selection, and frequent flyer mileage. Call the corporate travel specialist at Zagory Travel in Dollar today, 626-3132, to find out how you can shave your travel budget by up to 75%. Your next business trip to the USA should begin with a call to Zagory, 626-3132.
Hi, this is Carol Hamilton from Annapolis, Maryland. Stay listening to Travel World with Stephen Pickford on CIQC Talk Radio 600.
CIQC.
I want to bang on the drum all day. Hey, 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 hey.
on the radio all day. Welcome back to Travel World. Little back is Stephen Pickford and the hands of Chad behind the console. And boy, is that console ever lucky.
It has those hands to touch it. And we're talking with Rebecca Pilowski, who is back from Montana. She's based down in just outside Washington, D.C. and on the Virginia side of the Potomac River.
And she can still pick up our broadcast there near Westminster there.
And Westminster is around 75. Miles away, 50, 60.
Oh, that she won't. She won't pick it. 7 miles away, don't pick it up.
Affiliates in Crisfield, Maryland, and yeah. Annapolis, Maryland, as well. Yeah, on the Liberty Works Radio Network.
With Kara Hamilton, of course. So, anyhow, your trip to Montana, you came back on Clark's return path.
Yes,
must have been a conservative trip.
A conservative trip?
Oh, forget it. It's a Canadian
totally
joke.
Totally Canadian in-house
okay,
joke.
Because it was lost on me.
Yes, yes.
Now, going along the trail, were you walking the trail? Were you taking canoe trip? How did you get from point A to point B along the trail?
Well, we did kind of a little bit of everything, actually. We started in Bozeman, flew into Bozeman from D.C. and via Minneapolis. And then from there, we went in car up to Three Forks and did a little walking around in that area. Three Forks is where the three branches of the Missouri River come together. Mm-hmm. And we also had the opportunity to take a plane ride up there to see from above what it looks like when the rivers come together. So I did a little bit of airplane travel, too. And then got back in the car, and we were able to do a little bit of the floating along the river as well. So I kind of got a taste of everything, I guess. And I think that's probably the best way to do it.
How many days would you recommend somebody spend if they were contemplating doing this trail excursion?
Well, I spent 5 days, and I think that's probably about a good amount of time to do it. It gives you a good taste of everything. And then if you wanted to extend your trip into Yellowstone Park, then a couple of extra days for that as well.
Along the trail, were you camping, making your own meals, other than the times you're just spending in the teepees? Were you making your own food? Is this an organized type of excursion that somebody can easily book, or was this specifically set up?
Oh, no, it was pretty organized. It was just the one night of primitiveness. We stayed in a couple of the different historical hotels that are in Montana in this region, the Sacagawea Inn in Three Forks, Livingston, the Murray Hotel, and in Big Timber, the Grand Hotel, which I've learned the historical hotel pretty much means no elevator. So if you're going to go to one of these places, don't pack heavily. That's what I would say. If you're on the third floor, fourth floor, you've got quite a schlep upstairs.
Every time you say Three Forks, Chad gets excited. Then again, he also gets excited at the word Regina, so you don't mind him.
We're Northwest Flies as well. Get that in there as well. What would you say, are there museums that actually interpret the trail, or is it well marked in that regard, or do you have to really search far and wide to find where the trail was and what the historical significance was along the way?
Well, in this part of Montana, you really can't get too far without seeing something that's Lewis and Clark related. It was just really covered very well, and there are interpretive sites. If someone was going to go, I would recommend picking up one of the books that are out. There are a couple of really good guidebooks that follow their trail from Illinois all the way up to the Pacific and back. And they would tell you specifically what you're seeing and where you're seeing it. But once you get to the sites, the interpretive signs are there, and you can follow what they were up to at that time and what was going on at that time. Or also, if you read one of the books that are out about Lewis and Clark's journey, Stephen Ambrose's Undaunted Courage has been really popular. And it gives you an idea of what was going on at each step along the way. So you really don't have to look that far. And then in the towns themselves, there are some really interesting museums. The one in Three Forks, I said that again, Steve. It features this guy with the world's largest barbed wire collection. So you get the sampling of the barbed wire that he's got, all different kinds of barbed wire. I had no idea that there were so many different types of barbed wire. But
the barbed wire museum.
Yeah, well, it's in the museum. Part of his collection is there. But the guy is in the world's Guinness Book of World Records for having over 4,000 pieces of barbed wire.
Holy cow.
What would ever possess him to collect barbed wire?
Well, they told us in the museum that he worked on a railway, and he would get off the train at different stops and take little snippets of barbed wire. And then people
and the
found
farmers
out
would chase him
and just started sending them to him. So he built this huge collection, and part of it's on display there.
Has he got razor wire there, too?
Razor wire? I don't know about that.
Yeah. I know that it used to be called the Devil's Wire, apparently.
Oh, really? Yeah. Well, probably it was there. They had presidential barbed wire, though. They had Jimmy Carter barbed wire, had, like, peanuts stuck in it, and
you're America's Georgia, W-I-S-K.
I know Chad likes the movie Barbed Wire, but not for the same reason.
Yeah, obviously not.
You know, speaking of barbed wire, it reminds us of that little mini putt they had down in
Hampton Beach, which was so well guarded. They could
8-foot high fences. I'm not kidding. There's an 8-foot high fence around a mini putt. with barbed wire.
Yeah, and I guess
the only thing they were missing is guard towers or something like that.
High security. I think the prison system, there are minimum security prisons with less security than this mini pot.
Send me in to go playing mini pot. I don't know what's so valuable. Unless the giant pirate who's standing there is hollow and they got it filled with their money or something.
Well, now we know where the Russians were laundering their money. It wasn't the Bank of New York. It was the mini pot at Hampton Beach.
Who knew?
That's it.
Is there anything particularly unique about Montana food? Is there something that is, you go to Montana and it is done better there than anywhere else?
Well, you know, I really was expecting kind of a meat and potatoes kind of culture, but I guess because of all the celebrities that have decided to move there, they've tried to keep up with a little more chic cuisine, I guess. Mm-hmm. The food portions were huge. So we had breakfast at a place in Livingston that had things like oatmeal creme brulee homemade banana bread French toast, things like that that I did not expect to find.
Banana bread and Willem Backus go together.
Yeah, exactly. It was fabulous.
And then bananas.
I had this dessert at one place that it was at the Grand Hotel in Big Timber. The dessert was the chocolate peanut butter banana Kahlua Snickers cake, which, I mean, I'm still fantasizing about it. It was great. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's one of those things you wouldn't imagine.
No,
Montana,
it really isn't. It really
to have
my surprise.
These delectable foods, you would think Western-style barbecues or ranch dinners, baked beans and beef on a spit.
Baked beans like that scene in Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, and the saddles would be blazing.
Don't light a match. The Little Dutch Boy Bugle Corps, right, Steve?
We'll be playing at the next reception.
Yeah. Yes, that's what he called me, the Little Dutch Boy. But so you had some oatmeal creme brulee. That's got to be great.
Yeah, it was really interesting.
What was your favorite part of the whole trip, Rebecca?
I was definitely sleeping in the teepee because we had our guides, our hosts, we stayed in Columbus, Montana.
Uh-huh.
Cute little town off the railroad. They have a bar there that has a two-headed calf on the wall mounted, which is a little creepy. But the town itself was kind of plain, but when we got out to the park and slept in the teepees, we had these mountain men that were like our guides, and they kind of like, they go on these rendezvous and pretend they're living in the 1800s for like weeks at a time. It's great. And when they start talking about their stories, I've never laughed so hard in my life at like their stories of teepees like floating away.
Tell us one.
Oh, it was hilarious.
Give us
what's
one
your funniest
stories?
Story that they told you?
Or something.
Well, you know, it was funny because we were talking for a while, we were hours in front of the campfire, and I think probably when they started talking about their teepees, like every teepee has a little like fire pit in it, and I guess that's where the smoke signals come from. But I don't know, we didn't get to learn smoke signals, so I guess they'll do that next time. But anyway, I guess it started raining really bad, and the teepee flooded out, and like the fire pit started floating away.
Oh no!
Yeah, and just it sort of like started sailing out while they were cooking. You know, one of the men was downing his Cornish game hen, and the fire pit just started floating away. And yeah, I guess these are things that happen on these rendezvous. So I'll have to explore that some other time.
The more times people get together, and the more times people hit the road, there's bound to be a story to be told.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially with us. Well, Rebecca, it was a lot of fun meeting you. For those who don't know Rebecca, we met her when we were on our trip down to Jamaica, out on the catamaran.
Mm-hmm.
And I still can't remember the name of your friend. You never told us. But
Carrie Ann.
Pardon me?
Carrie Ann.
Oh, yes, Carrie Ann. Yes, the lady with the great big camera. And anyway, so
that was
I hope
back
you had a good trip
June.
There. And I hope you enjoyed your experience here on Travel World with us. Hope you join us once again.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Wonderful. And you can actually pick us up if you drive all the way up to Annapolis. Just find the radio transmitter, and it might have enough power to...
Annapolis or Crisfield or on the internet at www.libertyworksradio.com. Rebecca Pilowski, thanks for joining us this Saturday morning on Travel World.
Thank you.
So, Steve, what do we got next week?
The number to call for Montana information, 1-800-VISIT-MT, 1-800-847-4800. 6-8 to get more information on the bicentennial of the Lewis and Clark expedition. Next Saturday, 11 a.m. Eastern, Xavier Nuez, former Montrealer, now a photographer, internationally known and with exhibits and work, been exploring the neighborhoods of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And joining us in studio to welcome our American listeners to our city is Montreal Mayor Pierre Bourque.
So, definitely. And we can see if we can get Mayor Bourque to do a Monsieur Renov parody. Hello, my name is Pierre Bourque. I am mayor of Montreal. I've been on the air informing the public at large
office, yeah.
about home gardens in China.
He's done a lot of world travel, but always comes back to Montreal just like we do.
Yeah, you know what's funny? When we were down in the Canterbury Shaker Village, where we would be probably thrown out if we ever tried to live there, this one guy says, of all the places you've gone, where would you live if you had the place? And actually, we could. We could live in just about any one of these places, but we actually prefer to live right here in Montreal.
It's great to visit everywhere in Canada, the United States, around the world, but hometowns are what bring people back. Everyone is proud of their hometown, and I know our listeners across America are proud of their hometowns. We look forward to having the opportunity in the near future of visiting your hometown and sharing our town with your town. You're on Travel World.
That's one way to go, eh, Steve?
Yes.
Speaking of which, anyway, no, we do. We're very proud of Montreal, and justly so. And you'd actually do worse than to come to Montreal. But I tell you, as Mayor Pierre Bourque would say, come to our town where we'd be very happy to take your money. I mean, at par.
At the Willembacus Foreign Currency Exchange Bureau. I'm Stephen Pickford.
I'm Willem Backus. And behind the console, the hands of Chad and Bonnie and...
Bonnie down in Westminster, Maryland. Join us next Saturday, 11 a.m. Eastern for Travel World here on AM 600 CIQC Montreal and beamed across America on the Liberty Works Radio Network.
Take it away, Chad.